I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Motormouth podcast with Harry Benjamin and Tim Sylvie. This is the place where we meet some of the biggest names in and around motorsport, chat about their lives and everything in between. Did you know that Motormouth is on Patreon? Yes, you can support your favourite podcast if you want. And in return, we've got some great goodies and bonus content to give you. Just search Motormouth Official on Patreon, where there are three levels of membership. Become a Motormouth companion for just £5 per month with our eternal thanks, early access to all podcast episodes, ad-free. If you fancy going for £7.50 per month and becoming a Motormouth Associate, that means you can ask your own questions to our guests as well as enjoy ad-free early access to every single podcast. And if you're an absolute Motormouth legend and want to do £10 per month, you will get an official Motormouth baseball cap, a personal thank you on the actual show from us, and everything else, including ad-free early access and the opportunity to ask a question. Just search Motormouth Official on Patreon or follow the links in the detail of this podcast. Your support means everything to us and keeps us going. So thank you.
Before we kick off with today's guest, we must tell you about our Season 5 sponsors and the great team over at Motus One. Sponsors are vital for our survival and ensure we can continue to bring you interviews with the biggest names in racing. So if you or your company require event transportation, Dana and his team at Motus One has you covered anywhere in the world. From a single chauffeur-driven sedan to a fleet of luxury SUVs, Teslas or motor coaches, find your transportation solution with Motus One. With offices worldwide, including the Middle East, Europe and Africa, they can support your transportation needs regardless of your location. Motus One is committed to world-class service at the best possible rates to ensure your event goes without a hitch. Contact them at motusone.com. We'll put all their social links in the podcast description. And a massive thanks to Dana, their CEO and founder, for having faith in our show and joining us for Season 5. Now, on with today's episode.
This week on the Motormouth podcast, we are joined by one of the fastest female racing drivers around. If you aren't aware of Esme Hawkey, she is someone you need to get on your radar for 2020. Fresh from winning the Porsche Carrera Cup GB, she means business for 2021. And we also find out what else goes on in her world. Thank you so much to you guys who continue to download and listen. If you like it, please do leave us a review. It really helps us to get bigger and enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Tim Sylvie here. Now, before we introduce today's guest, I need to head over to Essex to bring in my now, thankfully, COVID-free companion, Harry Benjamin. How are you?
I'm well. I think I'm recovered. Honestly, would not recommend it for a start. But yeah, no, it's been a bit of a tough week getting it. But I think, getting it just as all this tier four stuff gets introduced in the UK. So it seems that like everybody's now sort of getting it. But thankfully, I think it just feels like a bit of a bad flu.
Yeah, but you actually had it. We did a podcast recording with, was it the Eddie Jordan one?
Eddie Jordan, yeah. I don't know what I was thinking.
And you had it during that interview. And I have to say, you did look horrendous.
Oh, cheers. Cheers, mate. Yeah, no, I carried on, soldiered on. But then thinking, oh, just the flu, I'll get through it because, you know, it's Eddie Jordan, I'll do it. And then had the test the next day and lo and behold, I had it. So I spent the week in bed.
Bad times.
But I'm here, I'm alive and I'm ready to go.
Awesome. Okay, well, shall I introduce today's guest?
Yeah, let's do it.
So today we're joined by a rising star in motorsport. Although her star is already shining brightly, she's enjoyed a career that started in karts aged just 9 years old and has over the years built up an impressive racing CV that focuses around GTs in particular with Porsche or however you'd like to say it. I'm probably going to get chastised by somebody for saying it incorrectly. She was also a big part of the W Series inaugural season where she did incredibly well, despite it being her first time in a single-seater championship. And she's working with the lovely folks at Mark Blundell's MB Motorsport in the British Touring Car Championship as a development driver. Let's jump into the life, career and opinions of the lovely Esme Hawkey and, of course, test her knowledge of herself in the infamous Motormouth quiz. Esme, welcome to the show.
It's our pleasure, Esme. Thanks for joining us. So, well, the end of my 2020 hasn't been the best. So how's your 2020 been and your general sort of... life, you know, you managed to get some racing in, but overall, how's it been? It's been a bit of a weird year.
Yeah, definitely. It's been such a strange one. And I think beginning this year, 2020, I didn't even know if I was going to be going racing. So for me, it's kind of been a whirlwind. And actually, looking at the end of 2020 and how my season's gone and becoming Pro-Am champion has been a Porsche Carrera Cup. So to go from one extreme, not going racing, to ending it with that has been, yeah, pretty insane.
Yeah, what an amazing year it sort of managed to turn it into. So before we get to sort of the up-to-date stuff, tell us about, you know, where it all started. Where did the sort of motorsport interest come from? What got you into it?
I started in karting, but before all that, I was doing things like ballet and tap dancing and really girly things. And it was my dad who was involved with motorsport, and that's how I got involved in it. I can remember going and watching him doing the Monaco Cup out there and just being around everyone and the whole atmosphere and the winning, the losing, the passion, just everything about it, the adrenaline. I just loved it. So I said to my dad, oh, this looks great. I'd love to get involved. How do I get involved in it? How can I jump into a kart? And for my 8th birthday, he bought me a kart for my birthday. And that's where it all kind of started. Went over to Rye House and we went round doing some laps. I think my first ever time in a kart, I actually probably did half a lap, stopped on track and was like, no, this isn't for me.
Oh,
and my dad had to come check. I was like, what's up with you? And I didn't like it at first, but I think a lot changed since then. So yeah, that's kind of where it all started.
You swapped the ballet shoes for a racing helmet.
Naturally. I mean, what else would you do? At what point did you think, okay, you know, you've had your moment where you thought, no, this isn't for me, and you've got yourself together. At what point did you think, actually, this is something I think I really enjoy and can pursue? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, so I remember it quite well because it was my first ever race at a track called Blackbush in the UK. And it was my younger brother was also there. My granddad was spannering me and my dad was spannering my brother. And it was my first ever race as a black plate. And I remember I won the black plate race and I finished second overall. And then when I came in, my dad was like, oh, amazing. Like when I did my first ever race, that's exactly like how I finished. I had first in black plate and second overall. And that's when I remember and I was like, oh, this is amazing. I want to follow in my dad's footsteps. I want to do this.
So did he end up going into motorsport or did he just do it as a bit of a hobby?
So my dad did a lot of karting, but he started quite late because he first started in motocross and in bikes. And then at the age of 28 years old, he went into karting. So pretty old for kind of youngsters starting at like 5 years old.
Yeah,
a lot older than you'd normally start karting. But he did karting for a while and then he was really good at that, got into cars and did some races. So I don't really know everything. I couldn't probably tell you his whole story in motorsports, but yeah, I know that he did races in cars and stuff, but never anything too serious.
Mm. But it must be really nice to have that family connection as well. But for you, you moved from karts to then racing in the Ginetta series, which is obviously an ultra competitive championship. How did you find that move and racing in, I suppose, tin top cars for the first time?
Yeah, so I was actually at Ella Park karting, and Lawrence Tomlinson was there, and he saw me karting and said to the guy who ran the championship at the time, oh, I'd like to give Esme the chance to come and do the Ginetta scholarship. So that's where it came from, and that's how I got into the Ginetta for the first time. And I went to the scholarship. That went quite well. I got to the second day, got through the processes, but didn't win the scholarship, but I decided to go into Ginetta's for the last three races of that. So, yeah, it was an amazing experience to jump into a tin top for the first time ever. And I think Ginetta's the perfect way for any karter to kind of jump into a race car, be it whether you want to get into single-seaters or tin tops, because I just think it's such a great stepping stone into actual cars. Not like a huge jump. It's kind of like that more middle ground between karting and...
It's funny though, because you say it's not a huge jump, but when you watch it, you think these people are completely insane, because there's cars flying off all over the place, people's bonnets flying up and you can't see where you're driving, and there's crashes non-stop. When you first had a race, did you just think, what the hell am I doing? It looks terrifying to me.
Yeah, it is a little bit. I think it's a bit daunting, but I think karting's quite close as well. So going into Ginetta's, I think you've kind of got that racing background of how it's going to be that you take into Ginetta's. But yeah, you do see these young kids going around absolutely battling it out. And I've never seen so many overtaking changes. Yeah. I think they need to do a video count how many overtakes there are in one race, because I reckon it would be a hell of a lot.
Brilliant. Fast forward though to 2019, and you jumped into single seat championship, the W Series. Obviously an amazing championship, championing, you know, getting more and more women into motorsport and inspiring the next generation, and giving the current generation, you know, more opportunities and more chance to showcase their skills to well, international motorsport world. How did you find that challenge, and tell us about, you know, the W Series story?
Yeah, it was definitely a challenge. Obviously my first ever year going into single seaters, but I absolutely loved it. It was amazing. And I think, well, when I did the 2019 season, I didn't just do W Series. I also did Porsche Carrera Cup.
Yeah.
It was a difficult year for me, jumping in and out such different cars. I mean, they're polar opposite with the W car. You've got the aero, the downforce, and you can hit that brake pedal as hard as you want. Whereas if I were to jump in the Carrera Cup car and hit the brake pedal as hard as that one, I'd probably end up with no wheels on my car. Flat spots. So yeah, it's difficult to kind of jump into one or the other, but I learned so much when I went into W Series, and it was a great experience. But it was difficult getting back into the Carrera Cup car and going, okay, I've got to forget everything I've just learned and put my Carrera Cup head on. So yeah, it was tricky, but I absolutely loved it.
Racing in Carrera Cup, that proved to be quite fruitful for you anyway, so no harm done, I suppose. But actually I wanted to talk about the Carrera Cup, and because, you know, that Porsche series, that, first of all, actually, first question, is it Porsche or is it Porsche?
Yeah, please enlighten us.
I always say Porsche, but I've been told off many times it is Porsche.
Okay, it is Porsche.
It just sounds weird. It doesn't feel natural to say Porsche.
No,
I feel like some wanky, like, I don't know, Porsche lovey, you know, that, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right. But let's go with it. Let's go with Porsche.
We've got confirmation now, so it's fine. We can just use this as evidence every time we say it. So the Porsche Carrera Cup, there are lots of different series of that around, you know, Europe. First of all, how does the series work? What's the racing like? And a question I actually had is, what makes these Porsche, like, why is it a cup car? I'm sorry if that's a basic question, but I can't work out why it's called, like, what makes it a cup car?
I've never really thought about that, to be fair. So I
wasn't yes.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
But no, I think being on the Toka package, obviously there's so many different Porsche trips and I'm involved in GB. And I think being on the Toka package has been amazing for my racing career because it's great to be on ITV and I think we get great coverage on there. And it's great to kind of follow along the British touring car guys. Mm. And it's actually given me some great benefits because you've probably heard that I was MB Motorsport Development Driver. Yep. This year. So I think being involved with the Toka package, and that's because Porsche Carrera Cup are on that package, has helped me in my career.
Yeah. Mm. And I know that next year, I think at the time of recording, at least, is still being negotiated. But what does the future hold? You know, you've been working with the guys at MB Motorsport and British Touring Cars, as you say. Obviously, you've got a huge amount of experience now with Porsche. What are your plans for the future? Can you talk about them yet? Do you know what you're going to do this year?
So for 2021, I'm not 100% sure what my plans are as of yet. I'm working alongside MB Partners and they're working really hard to kind of get me a program for next year. But obviously I've been involved with Porsche for many years now. I've done 3 years in Carrera Cup. I did 2 years in the Porsche Cayman GT4 car before that. So that's 5 years with Porsche. I love the brand. I'd love to stay with them. I think they're amazing. And as we see when we look at the Porsche pyramid, the next kind of step up from Porsche Carrera Cup would be the Porsche Mobile One Super Cup Championship, which would take me onto an international stage. So that's something that I wouldn't kind of push away. I'd definitely look at maybe doing that next year. So there's exciting things to look at for this year, and I'm excited what 2021 is going to hold for me.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, you obviously know the brand very well. I think it sounds like that should be your path from the sort of passionate way that you talk about the championships that they're involved with and the brand. So best of luck for that. I want to just go back to the whole W Series conversation a little bit because, you know, you did incredibly well there considering that was your, I believe, your first time racing in single seaters. And you had some good results. You had a good run out at Brands, a track that you're very familiar with, obviously. What do you make of the W Series now that you've been in it and you've left it? What do you make of it? Do you think it's serving its purpose to get more inclusion for females in motorsport? And do you think that is the right way to go?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're definitely doing a great job in promoting women. And I know when it was first spoken about and it first came out, there were some girls which said this is more segregation than it is to promote females in motorsport. But actually my mindset and my way of looking at it was they're not trying to segregate women, they just want to promote us and they want to try and increase publicity for people to see, look, girls can be on track and they can do a great job. So I think, yeah, they're definitely trying to show that and showcase how good women are in motorsport. And I think not only are they trying to do it on track, but I think they're also going to be trying to get more women engineers, more women mechanics. So yeah, I think it's still a long process and there's still a lot of time to go, but I think this is definitely a good way of doing it. And I think hopefully in 5 years' time, we'll see some of these girls in different categories of motorsport. Maybe we'll see some of the engineers in W Series working with the Formula One guys later in the year. So you never know. It's hard to tell, but I think it can't do any harm.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think I've been quite vocal in previous podcasts about when we're likely to see a female step into Formula One. And not just as a development driver or reserve driver, but a full-blown F1 driver. And it's always felt like for me that it's quite a long cycle that it's got to go through. You know, that it's probably, like you say, 5 years, maybe 10 years before we see a female in Formula One, because it needs to go through that sort of development phase of finding more and more girls to go through the program and push them into other race series. Do you agree, or do you think we might see someone in Formula One sooner?
No, I definitely agree. I think it's definitely going to be that 5 to 10 years kind of mark. And I think primarily because, like, when I went into the shops to go and buy some kids' toys, you always see, like, the girls' category and the boys' category, and your girls will be Barbie dolls, all that sort of thing. And then underneath the boys section, you'll have your Hot Wheels. So already there's that kind of stigma of what girls should be doing and what boys should be playing with, you know? And and you don't see under the girls section Hot Wheels. Like, it just doesn't exist. Yeah. I think already when into a store to pick out their toy at such a young age when it really matters for their future, they can't see what's going on. So I think that's another thing that W Series is great for, because girls can finally have a program they can watch on television where they see more girls than men on their telly driving a car. So I think it's going to take some time for those girls to kind of grow up and think, you know what, sod this, I want to be a racing driver. Because I came from a racing background, that's how I got into it. And had I not come from a racing background, I don't think I'd be involved in motorsport.
A quick interruption of the show to remind you to check out our Season 5 podcast sponsors, Motus One, the event transportation company. Motus One is the industry leader in complex transportation management. From hospitality, talent, production crews, VIPs and artist transportation, Motus One's team have you covered. They've also just launched their leading-edge cloud-based event transportation management system, Motus Ride. Now you can manage your entire event transport program digitally, making bookings, allocate rides, create approval processes, see reports, track costs, and loads more. Head over to motusone.com and hear how they can support your event transportation needs.
The F1 goal is one thing, but already it's, you know, it's amazing to see how much it's achieved already in well, I suppose the 1 year they've really had in it. You know, they've had drivers, you yourself going on in Porsches, and then you've got people racing in IMSA and the World Endurance Championship. So it's not just F1, it's about getting more, you know, well, I suppose if you look at just the racing driver aspect of it, more women in these sort of in top international seats, regardless of whether it's single seater Formula One or big GT programs. Now you we can clear to see you have a huge passion for Porsche and the brand. And when I think of the brand, I start to think of the World Endurance Championship and IMSA, and you know, if we get really, you know, into it, they're coming back to the 24 Hour Le Mans with their hypercar. Is that something you think maybe, I would like a piece of that someday? Would you want to work towards something like that?
Yeah, definitely. So looking at my future, I want to definitely become, I want motorsport to be my career or ultimately. So to become a works driver is kind of the goal, or to do it in another way where you can earn money from motorsport is my plan for the future. And I think, like I've said it, I could shout it more. Porsche is a great brand, and I think everything that they do so well. So if there was ever an opportunity to be involved, like you say, some of those championships with Porsche, that would be absolutely amazing.
Well, we'll clip this up and send it to them and see what we get back.
Presumably, they must have given you a Porsche by now, right?
So actually, at the end of 2020, because I won the Pro-Am Championship, I have now got a Porsche 911 for the year. That's pretty cool.
That's extremely cool. Oh, yeah. God, I'm so jealous. There's me and my Skoda.
As presents go, that's a pretty good one. Now, we have a quiz, Esme, where the prize is not a Porsche. In fact, there is no prize. No. You play for pride. and it's one of the hardest quizzes in motorsport. We've had about 40-plus people on there.
Cue the music.
Cue the music. Are you ready to play the hardest quiz in motorsport, Esme? There we go. Excellent. Right. So we have four questions for you and then a bonus question. Each question is worth 3 points. I mean, we do make it up as we go along, but there's around 14 points on the market. In pole position at the moment is Alexander Sims from the Formula E world with 14 points. But if you get 14, you go to the top. So that's where we're aiming for. Now, last on the list is Karun Chandor with 3.5 points. So that's the benchmark. If you get above him, you're not last. So it's all good. And anywhere in the middle ground, you're in amongst good people. Catherine Bonmuir is 25th. David Coulthard is 24th. We've got Rachel Brooks in 16th position. It's all to play for, really. So, question one. Are you ready?
Ready.
Right. How many points did you score during the 2020 Porsche Carrera Cup GB Championship? Now, I'm allowing 10 either side here. So, if you're 10 either below or above, you can still have the points.
Okay. This is I don't even know the answer to
that. Excellent.
Odd stab in the dark for a number that's just going to come to my head. I'm going to say 97 points.
It's not a
97.
It's not a bad first guess, but it's not great either. I think we'll give another chance.
I'm gonna give you another chance. We're thinking with three digits here. With three digits, so you did pretty well, I think. Yeah.
I probably didn't add on my last race weekend. That's probably why I've gone wrong.
There we go.
Yes, I would say so. So take that maths into account. What's the number you come up with?
We'll go for 125.
Oh, so close.
No.
So close.
So the final score you ended up with was 156. So that's pretty decent, but I'm afraid, in that you got all those points, it's a poor start, Esme. That's a big fat zero, I'm afraid, on that one. So we'll quickly move on to question number two. Here's hoping we can get off the mark. In what position did you finish the UK GT Cup GT4 Racing Series in 2016.
You got this.
Finished the championship.
Yeah, in the where did you end up in the final standings?
I'm going to go second.
Yes! We're off the mark. There we go. Solid 3 points in the bag for that one. Well done. Right.
I just have to say, Harry, I do feel like Esme's got a bit of an advantage here because usually, right, we do radio clips, okay, between driver and engineer. And because a lot of our guys and girls that we have on the show are in single-seater championships like Formula E, there's a lot of radio chat, and they have to get three things right within a question to get the 3 points. Esme's just got 3 points for getting one answer right. This is a flipping outrage.
But she got zero on the first one. Yeah. So, swings and roundabouts.
Okay, fair dude.
Right, we're gonna move away from you on this question. So this depends on how good your F1 knowledge is. Who finished last in the Formula One driver standings in 2020?
What is this? Is that right? I'm surprised. Yeah. I've just looked at the answer.
Who finished last? It's a reasonable guess. It's a reasonable guess, but it's incorrect. The answer is actually Pietro Fittipaldi, because of course he raced in the last two Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid. Oh, Esme. Right. Okay. Come on. We can pull this back. You've got to at least beat Karun. Okay. Question four. How many more points? Oh, now I'm reading this. I just think it's kind of hard.
This is tough.
Oh, well. How many more points did Lewis Hamilton finish the 2020 F1 season with than runner-up Bottas? So how many more points did he get than Bottas at the end? Now, again, I'm allowing plus or minus 50 here because it's quite a big chunk. So you can have, there's a decent amount of numbers to play with here.
Okay, wow. I wouldn't have a clue again. I do watch Formula One, but
I'll give you a clue. So the incorrect answer you gave for question number one could actually help you here, if you can remember what you said.
Well, I mean, I gave two incorrect answers.
Say again?
I'll go with 97.
The other incorrect answer.
120.
You know what? Both would have been allowed anyway. So you get the full three. Do I get the full 3 points or do I get two? I'll be nice and give three full points. Three full points. The correct answer was he finished 124 points ahead of Bottas, which is kind of mad. So I was allowing 50 points either side of that. So you're well in there. So we're back on track. It's fine. You're not last. So we're all good here. Okay. And we've still got one more bonus question to go. Now, we know you love an Instagram, but how many followers do you have?
I have 16,800.
Boom. And that is one extra point for you in the bag. So if I just do the math.
Salvage that. I think that could be all right. Solid mid-table.
I think you salvaged it towards the end. That is a solid 7 points in the bag. So you're 50% there from full points. And that puts you ahead of Steve Ryder Jack Aitken, Bobby Thompson, and just below Johnny Herbert in 31st position.
Oh, well
so,
done.
So, not too shabby, I'd say. I'd say you recovered that quite well.
This leaderboard is getting big.
I'm pretty happy with that today, to be fair.
Oh, good.
And also, fun fact, 31's my lucky number in racing. Sounds good.
Well, there we go. It all worked out perfectly. Well, Esme, thank you for playing the hardest quiz in motorsport. Thank you very much.
Oh, well done. And 31, there we go, you see. It's like we planned it. Now, listen, Harry mentioned it in the last question there. You are big in your social content, your Instagram and so on, and you seem to enjoy the whole social media aspect of things. You do a lot of fitness-based stuff on there. How important is that social side for you, and also how important is it for a racing driver for their personal brand?
Yeah, for me, social media is a huge part of my racing career. I mean, if we just look at 2020, I wouldn't have gone racing had it not been for social media, because without my partners and my sponsors, I can't go racing without them. And so they're a huge part of my racing career. And so with social media, I was still able to kind of make them happy and be able to promote them through my social channels so that they would stay on board with me. So I think social media is an amazing platform to have for a sports athlete. So yeah, and also on the fitness side, I like my sports, I like my fitness, and my followers follow me along my journey. And I think it's nice to just kind of put up what I'm doing. And I've had messages back where people have like followed onto my fitness videos. So yeah, it's great fun to do it all.
And you've got there's a couple of things that you've highlighted on your Instagram feed, recipes being one, LA being another. Tell us a bit about those two parts of your life. Is food and cooking or perhaps healthy food, is that something you enjoy?
Yeah, so I absolutely love cooking, and especially baking. So probably not so healthy, but I do love a good baking. I think everyone in 2020 baked a banana bread cake.
Never had one.
So baking's a huge part of me, and I do love being in the kitchen and cooking. So yeah, I do find great pride in that. And also the reason for LA is I love travel. So yeah, I just think travel's a great way and a great part of my life. So yeah, those are probably the reason for those two highlights.
And it got you 16.8K followers, so you must be doing pretty well on it as well. Exactly, so it's not too shabby. Now, as a racing driver, you know, you have to have a pretty strong mentality because you have lots of ups and you have lots of downs. How do you deal with the sort of the winning and losing aspect of it all? And also, you know, I suppose it's not just the winning and losing, it's about getting a place on the grid in the first place. How do you deal with it all mentally?
Yeah, so obviously with the winning, I think it's important to take every victory like it's your last, because motorsport is such a tough sport, and there's definitely more downfalls to it than there are the highs. So yeah, I think take every victory as if it's your last and enjoy the moment. But even so, like, the losing is hard, but I think when you go into a race and you do the best that you can and that's all you could accomplish, then you're not so much upset about it. You just look at it as in, what do I have to work on? How can I improve myself? And how can I do better next time? But if it's something like, and these things do happen, if it's something like you're in a race and then you're winning and last lap comes and there's a mechanical failure and you don't finish the race, that's a really hard pill to swallow. So there are things like that in motorsport which can kind of dampen your day. But yeah, you just pick yourself up again and get back to trying to get those victories.
Now, what would you say you are completely useless at outside of motorsport? You're obviously a brilliant driver, we know all that, but what are you crap at? Take motorsport away, what are you useless at?
Well, it's a difficult question, because I mean, there's probably a lot of things in the world that I'm absolutely useless at. I think one of those things where, like motorsport, there's probably loads of people who are probably useless at that, but I think if you kind of take something and let's say singing, for example, I would be absolutely useless. I'm tone deaf and I would probably shatter a lot of glass if I started singing. But I think everything you can kind of work towards. So maybe one day I'll be an amazing singer. But yeah, I'll go with I'm absolutely useless at that for now.
Well, it's a real shame you said that, because we've now got to the part where we all like to sing a song, hey, basically. if you wouldn't mind, I think there's enough that you're good at, though. You can get away with being a bit crap at singing. I suppose we flip it on its head. I suppose, would you say cooking is really sort of, and baking, and is that kind of your hidden talent, I suppose?
Yeah, maybe. I do like to whip up something in the kitchen. So, that could be my hidden talent.
Yeah, we'll go.
I'll make
that
a great.
Oh, an apple turnover. Very exotic.
Esme, who did you have a hero growing up, whether it be racing or otherwise? Obviously, your father was a big part of your career and your inspiration to go racing. But who else did you look up to when you were younger?
Yeah, so I've always kind of answered that question with my dad, because he's been a huge part in my motorsports career. Another hero of mine is my granddad. He's the one who was always there getting me into karting, and he supported me every step of the way. I don't think he's ever missed one of my races. So, he's a big hero of mine.
And got to ask, you're a young person, you're probably more tech savvy and more into sort of electric hybrid vehicles than I am. I'm making an assumption there, but I'm still fairly useless when it comes to hybrid engines. Formula One or Formula E, what's your preference?
I would probably say Formula One. I watch Formula One more than I do watch Formula E, but I do watch Formula E sometimes. I think it's great racing, but I don't think I've quite got my head around the electric racing as of yet, because I just think the rawness of racing and the sound of the engines is something you can't not love. So I'd probably pick Formula One, and it's also the highest level of motorsport. So
yeah. Nice.
Yeah, well, actually, just off that, we look at things like Extreme E now, which is another completely electric motorsport series. But crucially, they're 50% female drivers and male drivers. So that must be something quite interesting for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think that is something really exciting that we're going to see in 2021. So I'm excited to watch it and see what happens there. One of my friends is in it as well, Jamie Chadwick. So, yeah, I'll be cheering her on. And it'll be exciting to see how it goes. I think, yeah, it's a cool kind of platform. And, amazing.
It looks like a very cool championship, and that we've been seeing a lot of the footage coming out from their testing, and it looks amazing. And obviously, you mentioned Jamie there. I have to ask, so Jamie's our current reigning champion in W Series. Do you think she's going to retain her crown in 2021, or can you see someone else taking the top step at the end of the year?
It's definitely a hard question, but I think it might be a harder year for Jamie in 2021, just based on the fact that Jamie came into W Series in 2019, having done single seaters and having raced it. So I think a lot of girls on the grid had just stepped into a Formula car or had come back from years of not being in a car. So now that they've kind of got back into it and got back into the swing of things, I think maybe we'll see it being more of a competitive year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. Now, we'll let you go shortly. We have a final three questions that we ask all of our guests, and they throw up different answers. However, I have mixed it up a bit, Harry. I don't know if you noticed, but I've changed.
Oh, I noticed.
You noticed? I've changed question number two because I was feeling a bit silly, but I'll let you ask that one. So I'll kick off and ask you, what's got you excited at the moment?
So what's got me excited at the moment is to have signed with MB Partners. I'm really excited to have a management company on board with me and excited to see what 2021 is going to hold for me. And what exciting racing plans are going to be in store.
Yeah, that's ooh, that's cool.
They'll love that.
We obviously had Mark on the show a little while back, and they're doing brilliant things over there. And thanks to Tom and to Alex for helping us out and getting this interview sorted. But yeah, we're big fans of what they're doing. And obviously Mark also having his touring car team, they're doing some brilliant things in and around motorsport. So congratulations to them and well done to you for signing with them. Harry, over to you for our highbrow question number two.
Yeah, let me just put my highbrow journalism hat on. Esme, if you could be an animal, what would you be and why? Now, just take a minute, really think about this.
Yeah. It's a hard one. It's probably, I mean, there's no wrong answer, but there probably is a wrong answer.
Well,
I don't know. Well, I'd probably, go for a cow because I just love cows. So I feel like no one's going to choose that one. And let's be a little bit different in life.
Yeah, to be fair, actually, I saw a TikTok, which is kind of consuming my life at the moment. I don't know if you're on TikTok, but it's relentless. But I somehow ended up on the cow side of TikTok the other day, and which, who knew there was a side of that. And you could, like, apparently they're basically like massive dogs. They will hug you. They'll lay down with you if you have a good relationship with you. So, like, I feel like that's not a bad shout, to be honest. I think you're onto something there.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, and if you're not on the cow side of TikTok, what are you doing with your life? Come on.
Good Lord. What has happened to this show? I mean, you know, what are we doing with our lives? I like it. And I like that, Harry, you're so knowledgeable about cows that you know that they like to lie down and have a cuddle. It's a bit weird. Have you done that?
Not yet, no. Well, being ill with COVID has meant I've been stuck in my room isolating with nothing but really my phone and laptop. So,
but it's in the pipeline.
I'll blame it on that.
It's in the pipeline.
It's in the pipeline, yes.
Okay, good. Esme, enough cow chat. Our final question for you before we let you go. What are you scared of?
So what I'm most scared of, I'm probably scared of a lot of things, to be honest, but... two things I absolutely am scared of is heights, which I'm getting better at, but heights is one of them, and spiders. Yeah. I cannot stand spiders. I think that is definitely someone else's fear in the whole world as well. So definitely a lot of people who hate spiders.
Yeah, not a fan of spiders. The heights thing, does that extend to aeroplanes, or is it like one of those height things where if you can see the ground 20 metres away, then it's terrifying?
Yeah, it's a weird one. Like, not all heights scare me. It's more like if I'm on the edge of a cliff, then I'd be petrified. Or like if I feel like I can fall, then it...
Mm.
But if I'm in an aeroplane or a helicopter, life's good. I feel secure.
I think, yeah, if you're in a helicopter, life probably is quite good, actually, I reckon.
Many helicopters in my lifetime, but...
that's great. No, well, thank you for that, and thank you so much for your time. And I hope that your drive for 2021 soon gets sorted, and we see you in a championship somewhere, hopefully without any coronavirus or COVID nonsense getting in the way. So we wish you all the best for the upcoming season, and look forward to chatting with you again soon, and hopefully seeing you in a paddock at some point in 2021.
Thanks so much, guys. It's been great talking to you.
Before you hop off, one final reminder to check out the guys and girls at Motors One, your new transportation solution for minor, mega, and signature events anywhere in the world. Motors One simplifies the complex process of event transportation and provides clients with unrivaled service and support to ensure your event's transportation needs are fulfilled. Check them out today at motorsone.com, and if you tell them you found them through the Motormouth podcast, you'll get up to 20% off your first booking. Now, doesn't that sound good? Thank you so much for listening to the Motormouth podcast. Do make sure you give us a follow on our socials, Twitter at Motormouth_, Instagram at Motormouth_official, and Facebook, just search Motormouth. You can download the Motormouth app, where you can get exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile to interact with other fans, and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review. And until next time, you've been listening to the Motormouth podcast.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.